Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us for this very special Destination Wedding and Honeymoon Specialist Association Coffee Chat. These are sessions where we put the spotlight on our members, and we want to bring the expertise that they've gotten hard won most of the time on different topics that really affect all of us as working romance travel specialists. And boy, today is a doozy. We have a lot of members. If you set them down and say, we want you to go along on the destination wedding trip with your couple and their guest and take care of things on site, they want to run for the hills. But many more members, like our guest today, Jenny, one of our charter members, has gone the other direction. She's embraced this as a big part of her business. She charges fees for doing this on-site service. And today she's very graciously going to share some secrets that she's learned from working accompanying, escorting her romance travel groups like Destination Weddings. So I want to introduce, again, a charter member of our group. She's been on from the very beginning. Jenny Chaffer, she is the owner of Journeys Travel, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Jenny, Bourbonnais, Illinois.
Correct.
And she is actually, she's a longtime Destination Wedding specialist. She is in Dreams Playa Mujeres today with a group, a wedding that's coming up in just a couple of days. And Jenny, thank you again for being here, and I'm going to turn things over to you.
Well, you are welcome, John. Thank you for having me, and hopefully I can drop some nuggets for everybody that's listening. And I want to just say off the bat, feel free to reach out to me, message me, or post in the Facebook group, because I'm happy to answer every questions, any questions you guys have. So I am on site, Dreams Playa Mujeres. The wedding is tomorrow. This morning I've met with the wedding coordinator and we've walked all the sites, made some last minute changes, and I've met with the wedding couple to make sure they are good to go. So it's fun being a part of it and seeing your hard work come together. And that's kind of how this has all transpired. So I do have some slides while I'm talking. And John, if you want to go ahead and go to the second one. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is why I do what I do. These are two of my couples. The one couple in the white, the bride in the white dress, that was my very first destination wedding. I don't remember if it was 2008, 2009. I meant to go back and look and didn't have a chance to, but they were supposed to get married at Dreams Tulum. Well, what happened is Dreams Tulum, the government came in and decided they were going to close it because they were sitting on, I believe it was, they found Mayan artifacts or something like that. And I was scheduled to be on a cruise in the Mediterranean. So I had to juggle the logistics from a cruise ship in the Med. It worked out, luckily. However, at the time, I had lots of phone calls saying, I wish you were there. And I knew in my gut it would have been easier if I had planned to be on site to take care of some of those issues. The other couple was my first wedding post-COVID. We did have some cancellations, of course. However, it was, I think we still ended up with 75 people, Hyatt Ziva Cancun. And of those 75 people, 65 had never been out of the country. So juggling the COVID protocols and then that many people that had never traveled before, part of the reason we kept the number so high was because they knew I was going to be on site. They knew I'd been traveling and they knew I would be there to help them through anything. And, you know, we did have some issues on site with COVID seating arrangements and things like that that were changing, as you guys know, day to day during that whole time period in that fall. So part of it is just peace of mind, but it's also getting your face out there. If you want to go to the next slide. These were two of my couples last fall, and both of these weddings were good size weddings as well, which it definitely helps with the logistics. But you'll see that, can you go back a slide, John, I believe? Oh, nope, sorry. Okay, it's coming up. So part of what I do is I help with the on-site setup, which takes the pressure off of the coordinators on site. As we know, they are all overwhelmed. When I met with the wedding coordinators here, they have 480 weddings on the books for this year between Dreams and Secrets. they just can't juggle it all. So when I have couples that want to have the personalized maracas or have the names, almost all of my couples now are doing those names as the place cards. That's something that I assist with when they pay me to be on site. This wedding, I am here as technically the day of coordinator. So I am handling rehearsal dinner, seating tonight, and then tomorrow, whatever they need me to do. And that's one of the things I offer. One of the things John wanted me to talk about is how I present this to the couples. When I have my consultation, I just put it out there matter-of-factly. I have four packages. I do their travel. I do their travel and help with wedding planning. I also do day of coordination, or I offer full service. Full service is up to 5 days, and it covers if they have welcome cocktail, any offsite excursions. I also help set that up and make sure that all of that is working, rehearsal dinner, and then everything day of. And I'm also on site when they have their initial meeting with the wedding coordinator. It really puts them at ease because you've developed a rapport with them through the planning process. You know, generally it's 9 to 12 months that I'm working with my couples, and they know that I have their back. And I think it really does put them at ease when I'm on site to answer any questions. And, you know, sometimes I'm the mediator. The wedding today, the bride's mom has now decided she wants to walk her down the aisle. And the bride doesn't really want that, but doesn't want to create waves. So because I am here, I'm happy to step in and kind of be that intermediary, which the wedding coordinators on site don't have the time or energy for. And the bride doesn't want to get in the middle of it when she's, you know, already stressed with the wedding. So it's some of those little things that I do as well. You can go to the next slide, John. As far as the contract, things I can tell you that you really should do is list in there the times that you're available. I do have set times that I offer my clients. If it's a full service planning package, I am available in 2-hour blocks for the days other than the wedding day. So that, say tonight, I would be available from the rehearsal through the start of the rehearsal dinner, and that's it. Their half-hour meetings this morning weigh into that. So I don't stay through the rehearsal dinner. As soon as they are seated, I'm out of there. You can set that up as you want, but you also need to set boundaries. They will call you. They will text you. They will think that you're on site. You can fix the rooming issue. That's not your responsibility when you're here. You can assist if you want, but don't let yourself get dragged into those details that you wouldn't be the contact if at home either. You would be sending them to your supplier or your on-site contact for the rooms. So I kind of operate it as two separate issues. I'm still handling, you know, right now flight delays, transfer changes, things like that. But I'm when I am on site, I am focused on the couple and what the other guests need for the wedding portion, not the travel portion. So I hope that makes sense. A few other things that I put in my contract are the meeting locations. Some people just want to meet by the pool, and that's fine if you want to get that casual. I don't do that until after the wedding. Once the wedding day, after that's over, then yeah, I'll go and I'll have the pool, be at the pool party or do those kind of things. But I still try to maintain that professionalism beforehand, meeting them at the cocktail party, those kind of things to keep your face out there. Because my goal in this is to make sure my couple remains stress-free, that their day is perfect, but also so their entire guest list knows that I'm not just a person sitting in an office booking their travel, that I am a real person, that I am a professional, that this is my job, so that they also refer me out. And that's one of the ways I've really grown my business, is by having those referrals to other couples, as well as just other people looking for anniversary trips or things like that. Let's see. Surprises. I'm just looking over my list here of things I wanted to talk about. Some of the surprises that I've seen escorting my groups, honestly, is how grateful some of the people are to know that you really are there, that you not are just in a call center someplace. And that's both from the couples and the guests. It really is gratifying when you have people hunt you down to tell you, you know, what a good job you've done, and you know, how happy, how easy you have made the whole process. You know, we don't get a lot of kudos in this business. Usually we hear the bad things and not the good things. So it's affirming, I guess is the word I'd go for. It's very affirming when you get that. John, if you want to go to the next slide, I'll go through a couple more of these.
Absolutely. And Jenny, while I go to the next slide here, let me jump in with a quick question.
Sure.
A couple of members had asked, do you mind repeating? I think you had four different package descriptions.
Sure.
Day of services. Could you repeat those again? And the other question kind of related to that is, those four packages, do they include the fees attached to those packages? Do they include any ceremony planning fees or any travel-related service charges, or your travel-related service charges, are they separate?
Okay. I'll kind of cover all that at once, if that's all right.
Okay.
So my first package is just the travel planning. And with that one, I secure the wedding date, the time. I make sure the couple has the information of the coordinator that will be helping them. And then I handle the travel planning for their entire group. And that one, I charge $1,000. That's my flat fee for that. The next service I offer is travel and the wedding planning. And I've recently changed that pricing on that. So right now I'm charging $1,600 for that. And honestly, it's not a whole lot more, except for a few meetings for me. I set up calls with the couples 2 to 3 during the wedding process. I give them a checklist that they work off of. And it's a month-to-month checklist so they can keep up to date on things. And then I already have my preferred vendors if they want offsite recommendations for photography, for floral, for decor, all of those things. I've already got those set up in email templates. So it's very easy for me to send those out and say, you know, here's the resort information. However, if you prefer to go with an offsite, here's who I would recommend. I do that for DJs. I already have those set up, so it's very easy. It's not very time consuming for me. And honestly, a lot of couples option because they've all been on the Facebook groups and they have seen that there are hundreds of different answers to the same question. And a lot of times they're already overwhelmed at trying to figure out the planning part of it. I always tell them I'm not going to help them pick their colors, but I'm happy to send them some Pinterest ideas. And, you know, it's maybe 2 or 3 settings or settings from my past weddings, which, again, it helps promote yourself. Then the next two involve the travel portions. The one includes a day of coordination. I'm on site for 3 days, but I'm really only theirs for 2 to 3 hours the day before and then the wedding day. I don't charge a separate travel fee because it depends on the group block, how it's selling, or what the rates are, quite frankly. For this stay here, we used up the room block and added rooms. So I just used some free nights I had and booked my own air, which a lot of times I've got points for that too. So, you know, it just depends. But I try doing just a daily fee or having them pay for my travel. And it was just, you know, too much to think about. So I do it this way. So I've got that service, which that one I've actually raised that price now from $2,000 to $2,500. And then the full service is up to 5 days of events. And same thing, the package includes my travel services. It's not a separate charge. And as part of those 5 days, I kind of add in a per diem, because even though I'm still working while I'm on site with other clients, it does cut into that. So that fee, I've recently raised that one. That is now gone. It was $3,500. I've now raised that one to $4,500. Hopefully that answered that question.
Thank you. That's great.
Okay. While you've got this screen up there, this is one of the you know, these are couple weddings from last year, and the one couple, I just, she was one that she had a specific look that she wanted, so much so that they set up the tables at home to photograph to make sure that things were the way they were. And she just kept raving how it looked like a fairy tale. Well, it looked like a fairy tale because I made it that way. You know, there were changes that had to be made, the where the wedding coordinator and the staff had set things up just wasn't how she wanted it. Is it a big deal? No, but does it make the difference because I moved some things around? Yeah, it does. And the other photo, that was a wedding at Dreams Natura, and it's very nice to be there and be a part of the team and get to know the staff. So now upcoming weddings, you know, I don't have to wait for answers. I can actually WhatsApp them and get the information I need instead of just emailing and hoping they get to it. If you want to go ahead and go to the next screen, I believe that's actually the wedding of the couple that was at Dreams Natura. So this wedding was last November, and it had a lot of moving pieces. I believe we ended up having 9 events, and I don't want to brag, but it was a big enough event that the owner of Dreams Natura flew in for the weekend to watch it. So the staff was very much on edge, knowing they were being watched, and he wasn't there to being critical, but he definitely was there, and they all knew it. So it was also great to be there with that many people, but also to kind of be their sounding board, because they were stressed out with everything going on as well. But I was there to calm them. I was there to help them set up, to be in the middle, to run around and do things that they didn't have time for and the couple needed. If you want to go ahead and go to the next screen. And one of the things we did was we had the first after party in the cenote. I don't know that we would have pulled that off if I wouldn't have been on site, because the resort was kind of apprehensive since they had never done it before. We had to have added security because of the way that spa is set up. And then during the party, they wanted to extend it for 2 hours. And, you know, the staff is exhausted. So I had to be the one that said, I will stay here. I will sign off on the security, and honestly make it happen, because the couple shouldn't have had to deal with that night. You can go to the next one. These are some shots from some of the weddings that I've been on site for. It's also fun for me to get these shots that the couples, you can keep going through the next couple as well, to get some of these shots that the couples don't always have access to right away, so I can give them to them to use for their Facebook posts. They do have, you know, amazing photographers, and we'll get those in the end, but it's nice to have some of those that they can post right away or flip back and remember it while they're waiting. You know, it could be 2 to 3 months for their resort photographer to get their photos to them. And then I think I've got one more slide. Something else that I do is, in the middle bottom picture are the welcome bags. So at the welcome cocktail, a lot of times we will hand out the welcome bags, and that's a great way for me to put faces to names of all the guests. So the couple just has me stand there to make sure that everybody is, you know, everybody that comes in is really their guests. I've had to play security at weddings before and hand them out, but it gives me that face time. As well as I said before, a lot of my couples are doing those names, and that's something I have to do this afternoon, actually, is take all of those names and get them organized with the seating chart. But it's fun being a part of it. As you can see, that wedding was a Jewish wedding, so I was delivering items. The two corner photos are the couple's gifts that they have me take to each other to present. And a lot of times they do that. They could send a family member, but at that point I'm always told I've become part of the family. And that's just one of the fun ways for me to, you know, see it all come together and be part of those special moments. I think that's all I have, John. So if there's any other questions.
Yes, Jenny, quite a few questions here and really good ones. And first of all, again, just thank you for sharing this. I'm sure your agency was hit just as hard as the rest of our businesses during the 2 years of COVID at the worst. And so it's just exciting and I think inspiring for all of us to see members like you who have really bounced back and have really built out a niche like this within romance travel. It's very inspiring to see what you've done here. So thanks for being so open about what you do too.
Oh, you are welcome. And if you want to go to the next screen, my contact information's on there. If anybody wants to email me or call or text me too.
Great. So folks, we've got, I think, 7 or 8 questions here. If you think of other questions, type them in the questions window if you're online with us. At the end of the questions that are typed in here, I'm going to turn the screen off for a moment so I can go check the support email, but I'll be able to check that once. So if you're just listening by your phone today, but you can email, you can send an email to the support address, support@dwhsa.com. Always remember, you can go on the Facebook later if it's just too much to worry with now, and you can ask questions there. But on the screen here, make sure you jot down Jenny's contact information. She's very gracious to answer questions later. And just identify yourself, if you would. If you haven't met Jenny yet, just identify yourself as a DWHSA member. That way she'll know where your question's coming from. All right, let's jump into questions here. And let's see. Shannon wondered, Jenny, do you fly with your groups? And if not, how much earlier do you try to arrive at the hotel if you're not flying long on the day they're flying?
I do not fly with them. Occasionally, I end up on a flight with guests, but that's kind of few and far between. It is funny for them to be kind of eyeballing you at the gate, trying to figure out if that's really you or not. And as far as when I arrive, it really depends. I try to be on site before the couple arrives if it's a full service planning package. And then I'll fly in maybe a day ahead just so I can be here and be settled. If it is just the day of, then I'm just arrive usually the day before the rehearsal, and then I leave the day after. So this trip, I will leave Friday morning to go to another property. And honestly, it kind of just depends on my schedule, what airfare is. You know, as you know, we can work from anywhere. So a lot of times I don't tell the couple when I'm arriving. Maybe I would have arrived Monday this week. I don't tell them I'm arriving until Tuesday, so they don't really know, and that way they're not apt to, you know, chase me down or become needy, and that seems to have worked pretty well.
Okay. Here's a related question. Do you ever have couples where you will greet the couple when they arrive at the resort, or have you ever had wedding arrangements where you greet the guest, the rank and file guest, when they arrive at the resort?
I do meet the couple if it's a full service and I'm available to. I will meet them in the lobby, or we have arranged to meet up their day of arrival. And because generally they arrive the day before the bulk of their guests do. In the beginning, I did do the meeting the guests during check-in, giving out the welcome bags, then doing those kind of things. But with all of the rooming issues, and there's always questions, and right now, honestly, after COVID, since check-ins have become increasingly slower, I do not do that.
Okay. Folks, we've got about a dozen questions. We're definitely going to run through all of them in order here. Mindy asked, do you recommend ever bringing your own vendors from the U.S. Where you're based to these weddings?
It depends. I have a DJ out of Miami that I use quite a bit, but I have a local person that I use for the MC. I don't usually recommend using U.S.-based photographers. I'm sure there are some fabulous ones, but I've had some that have been family members who are true photographers, and they just don't know the shots. They don't know the locations, and some of them even have come down to scout it, and still they've missed some of the perfect shots, you know, like Hyatt Ziva Cancun with the lighthouse, and they didn't walk them over there. So there's things like that that I just prefer to use local vendors instead of bringing them with.
All right. We had a a couple of folks, Debbie and Katie, who had asked about if you could talk again about how you cover your actual travel expenses, your flight to get down there to Dreams Playa Mujeres today, your lodging if it's not covered by a comped room night. How do you handle your travel expenses?
So the air I just book on my own, or I use personal points depending on, you know, where the air is. For this trip, I flew Southwest. So, you know, I wait for a sale. I've already got the dates locked in. I know when they're coming out and I can get, you know, usually get pretty good rates. For the room portion, it just depends. Everyone's different. This one I use Comp Nights for. Most of them, I will look at the agent rate. If I've got access to that, I will request an agent rate, or I will book into the room block and take the commission off of it. And sometimes that's even lower than what the agent rates have been. That's changing for this year. I haven't seen it so much, but a lot of my weddings last year, that's what happened. But yeah, that all just comes out of my original planning fee, so that I'm not asking the couple to pay an additional amount.
So you've just factored that in. If you did have to pay for room night, you would factor that into the package pricing you're charging the couple for your services.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And honestly, I've never had an issue where I thought it was getting close to me not being able to cover expenses and make any money on it.
Okay. I think you said earlier, you feel like as if it keeps things simple with the couples because you're not giving them the package price invoice, and then later you got to charge them the airfare and so on. Just keep saying, I think you said earlier, you feel as if it keeps things simple.
Correct. Yep. And for the two packages with the on-site component, I offer those with payment plans. So by doing that, they don't have to come up with as much money up front, but it also gives me one of those payments. Then I'll take that and use that to purchase the airfare. So I really don't have to be out any money either.
Okay. Oh, that's smart. Okay. All right. Katie asked about what's the usual number of attendees where you feel it makes sense to have you as the travel expert there? Is it 50? Is it 100? Or is it just up to the couple if there are 10 of them in the wedding party, period, and that's all that's going, but they still would want you on site? Do you have like a minimum number you try to recommend that it makes sense for you to be there, or is it just if the couple wants you there, you'll go?
So I don't technically have a minimum number. I think anything over, say, 40 rooms is where I've really seen it be beneficial. How I do that, though, is if I have a couple during the consultation and they think they may only have 10, 20 people, when I start to go through the packages, I tell them that they need to choose between the two packages, the travel planning or the travel and wedding planning. And if they want to add the on-site services later, they can do that. And that way they get a feel for me and they can tell how much their family is stressing them out. And a lot of times it will be they've got 15 or 20, but then they decide they want me there. But it seems to take the pressure off when they don't want to commit to the larger package if they aren't going to have that many people. But in the end, they decide it is necessary.
All right. Makes sense. Do you feel that you get a return on investment from repeat travel business from guests, specifically because you were there in person for the wedding trip?
Oh, definitely. Not only repeat business, so much so that I'm having to add team members to handle that other business because I don't do a lot of that. I just do the romance portion, but also from the referrals, because I would say 80% of inquiries I get are somebody that works with someone that attended a wedding and met me. It's those kind of referrals more than a regular past guest. You know, say a honeymoon couple, they're going to refer me to friends and family, but I don't always get the feedback where they came from. But with the wedding guests, for some reason I do. And a lot of my referrals come from you. So I know so-and-so who was at Jadira's wedding. And that's, you know, so I do know it's working because of that.
Well, let's talk about your work there on site. You're literally at Dreams Playa Mujeres right now with the group, and I think you said in a couple of days you're going on to a different resort for a totally different wedding group. Do you ever bring assistants with you, or do you have team members? I think do you have team members at home who do certain things, and do you ever have a team member or an assistant who would go with you on the trip?
I do. I have had assistants come with me. I would actually like to find more people that can help me with that, because it is hard to juggle everything sometimes. And quite frankly, I'm getting old and can't run that much anymore. But it depends. But I have had assistants on site. I also have a VA who kind of keeps things organized, email and phone calls, because when I am on site, that's the priority. But it's also good for my other couples, because they know that the couple I'm with on site is the priority and their time will come. So it gives me a little bit of grace with them as well.
All right. Another thing you do, you showed us some pictures of the welcome bags that you handle on site. Courtney wondered, do your couples order the welcome bag contents and the bags, or is that part of your service too?
I have ordered some items. Generally, I give them the information who they need to order from, and I have them, the couples, put them together on site and then give me the completed items. Or take them to the wedding coordinator if you do have a wedding coordinator that'll work that way. Some of them anymore, if you're taking them to the wedding office, then they are going to charge a fee for handling, period. And so I just have the couples compile it, bring them to me, and then I handle it.
Okay. Is a question about how popular your full service, like the 5-day package, is. What would you say, if you are willing to share, what's the percentage of your groups that end up going the whole 5-day full service package? Is it pretty popular, or is that pretty seldom?
I would say of my weddings, about 60% of my weddings choose a planning package, and of that 60%, about 40% do full service.
Okay, that's pretty popular, I would think. That's great.
More people choose the full service than they do the day of coordination when they are adding it.
Well, if you remember back to when you started doing these services, you showed us some great pictures today. Heather says she's had 3 destination weddings so far. She started doing romance travel like that with weddings in 2019. The second couple she's had have told her they really wish she had been there. So this is something she's considering starting to offer. So do you have any advice for any members who love what they're hearing today? They kind of want to get started offering the service, but maybe they've never done it before. What advice could you share if they're just getting underway?
Probably the two biggest things are set boundaries. Set your boundaries on what you will and won't do, when you will be available, how they can communicate with you. Do not ever give them a room number. I do not do texting except when I'm on site. So clients don't text me outside of that. So set those kind of things, as well as set expectations. If the couple knows going in that you are going to be there for them, but you are not going to go, you know, get Uncle Harry from the bar when he's making an ass out of himself. Sorry. You know, those kind of things. You need to know what your limits are and how much you're willing to give. And you need to make sure your couples know that as well. You're there to support them, and sometimes you are there to handhold if they're, you know, an emotional couple, but you're not there to play security for those issues. So you really need to kind of look inward and see where your comfort levels are, where your boundaries are, and just make sure you get them set in stone, first in your mind, because sometimes you think, oh, it's not going to be that big of a deal until you're in the middle of it, and then make sure it's part of the contract. So you've always got that to fall back on.
And that's a great segue to a question about how do you communicate? If you work with a couple and you told them, I handle wedding related details with you on site. I'm not going to go in and fix somebody's air conditioner who's a guest. That's what the front desk is for. The couple may be on board with you, and if you mentioned then you put that detail in the contracts. But when it comes to the average guest, do you communicate to the guest what you will and will not do on site, or does the couple do that? How do you handle making sure the guests understand that you're not there to fix the air conditioning?
In my documents, and this is the case for all of my clients, in their documents, they're in two different places, it is specifically listed that I don't handle rooming issues, I don't handle bedding issues. For those things, this is who you need to contact, and I spell it out that way. The couples are excited to have me, so they're telling all their guests that I'm here and they're going to get to meet me. But I honestly, only a few times have I ever had somebody ask for something that I was like, oh, sorry, I can't help you, but you know, here's who you need to contact. And they may have grumbled to the bride and groom, but I've never heard any feedback to that.
Okay. Christy wonders, have you ever thought about being ordained as an officiant before offering these on-site package options? Do you ever get a call to actually be the officiant for the ceremony?
So I am. I did get ordained. For some reason, before a wedding I had, I think it was 2018, I had a feeling that something was not going to work out right. And it's a good thing I had that feeling, and I trusted my gut because I was on site, and the wedding coordinator had quit the day before and had not scheduled a minister for the couple.
Oh.
So luckily I was able to, I could have stepped in and said something, but I felt like because I had taken the training and got the official certificate, I guess, that I could at least do enough to, and you know, thank goodness they were a laid back couple, but I have had to step in and do that. I do not offer it, but it's more for my peace of mind to know I've got all my bases covered just in case.
Great. All right. Building on that, there's a question about whether you've gone out and gotten any of the wedding planner certifications. And if not, do you feel being a certified wedding planner is necessary to do what you're doing?
I did. I'm all about learning and education. I feel in this business especially, you always have to keep learning. So I did go and get my certification. I did go during COVID. That was one of the many courses I took to update my certifications. Honestly, most people don't know the difference, and I don't advertise that I'm a certified planner. Again, for me, it comes down to I've done the certification, so I know what questions to ask. I know what I should and shouldn't do, what I should or should not volunteer or recommend. It's more from that aspect than as far as what the couples are thinking or how they're finding me or those kind of things.
Okay. Larissa wondered if there are members who want to start going in this direction, and we wanted to maybe get your help directly with our business to set this up. Do you offer consultations to agents to help us get all this set up?
Yeah,
paid,
I do.
Consultations.
I do.
Okay.
There is a link on my I don't know what it is off the top of my head because it's got a special link that I've got 30-minute phone chats that I can set up with you. So if you want to reach out, I can send you that information.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's right there on the slide, folks. Is it the journeysdowntheaisle.com? Is that the right one?
I don't know that. I think my consultation one is at the journeys-travel.com, but
okay,
I can send it. Yeah, I can post it or just send it out because I have a specific one that goes specifically to my my agent consultation link.
Okay. Yeah, if you can email that to me later, and I can make sure that gets out to everybody.
Okay.
Okay, good. What about couple cancellations? How do you handle cancellations if a couple has already paid part or all of one of these fees? Is it non-refundable?
So it is non-refundable. I've had three chargebacks just in the last 6 months, I guess. One of them I am still fighting. The other two I have won because I have all the documentation that it was non-refundable. I have all of the information, what they were to receive as part of the package, what they have already received. And, you know, email is your friend. Make sure that you have email documentation of the communication with them. Even if you have a phone call with your couples, follow up with an email summarizing what was there, because that's what has saved me, and I have won. I've won two of the three so far.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Most of the time, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of cancellations. I have had a few others, and generally it's because they end up pregnant and then can't travel, but which, you know, it's not a bad thing, but they often ask for it back, but they don't fight it when I say no. And oftentimes I'll just say, you know, the portion we've already used a portion of it for the planning so far, the other portion that we, you know, that you feel hasn't been used yet, I will use that towards your first anniversary trip or a honeymoon later or something like that. You know, I feel like that's a good faith effort instead of charging them a secondary planning fee down the road, and it'll get them to come back and work with me later.
That's a great way to handle that. Okay. Shannon says, do you see a lane, an opportunity for services to be there in person on site with the wedding group, but strictly to handle the travel components as opposed to being there on site handling the wedding components?
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Do you see there might be any opportunity for an agent to be on site for the destination wedding group, but you're there strictly to handle travel issues?
Travel.
And not the wedding parts at all.
Well, yes, but it depends on the property. Even like now with Dreams, depending on if you're working with them directly or if you're working with a different supplier, it depends on the supplier, how it's handled. So say it's through Classic, whether I'm on site or not, they have to get the direction from Classic to make a change. So there's things like that that are out of your hands. But on the other side, there are things like pickups. My resort pickups for their transfers are already set. I give a list to the bellman so that they have it already. And the way that the guests are not having to deal with going to the lobby and checking with their transfer times. So there are some things like that, that it is a benefit from the travel side to being on site. But again, that's one of those things that you've got to know how much access you have to the staff and how many changes you can make before you offer that service. Because you don't want to say, yeah, I'll be in the lobby and I can help with this and I can help with, you know, making the check-in process go smoother. Well, the check-in process isn't smooth anywhere right now, it seems to be. So, you know, there's things like that that you just can't. I wish I had a better answer, but it's kind of six of one and a half dozen of another, because I've had it work, but I've also gotten yelled at because I couldn't fix things.
Yeah. Okay. A couple more quick questions, and then we've got a ton of questions asking if we could wrap up and with just talking about fees one more time. So I'll prepare you for that. But let me ask you one more quick questions here. With the 5-day or the 2 and 3 day packages, do you leave the day after the wedding, or do you plan to always stay at least one additional day after the ceremony?
For the day of, I leave the next day, if it's the day of coordination package. If it's the full service package, it depends on when the events are. A lot of times we will have a a brunch, or they'll do a group excursion or something the day after the wedding or the following day. And so that is figured into the packages. If they want to add on, so say I've done the full day, we've done 5 days of events and things, but there's actually a sixth day, then I do charge an additional fee for that day.
Okay. Just to clarify, as far as the room you're staying in when you go on trips like this, just to confirm, I think you said earlier, I've got a couple of questions here about this, you would use one of the comped rooms from the room block to cover your room if it's available?
No, no, not the comp room that the couple gets. I use, if I don't use an agent rate or book into the group, then I, depending on what the group looks like and the pricing looks like, then I will use free nights.
Okay, glad we clarified that. Thank you for that. Just a couple of comments thanking you for today. I'll give you those in a minute, but just to wrap up, a couple of questions about fees. As far as like splitting the fee into installments, which I believe you said you do, PJ asked, if you're using the payments like that towards your package that comes to you in advance to cover your cost of traveling, how many installments do you typically split them into, and you ask maybe for a deposit up front?
They pay a deposit. Yeah, they pay a deposit when they sign the contract. And then from there, it depends. If it's the day of one, that one is split into three payments. If it's a first service, I split it into four payments. And the final payment is due 3 months before travel.
Okay. Just to share with you some comments here, Elaine says, Jenny, you're amazing, and she loved seeing all this and hearing this today. Shannon says, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. Debbie said, no one should worry about being a certified wedding planner. It's not a requirement. The only people concerned about certification, she says, are other wedding planners. I think most of us feel like that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Before I ask this final question about your fees again, I just want to mention a couple of you had asked if we could get some examples of materials from Jenny. I want to talk to her separately about that. She's been very open today, but there's really, for all of us, we get into the area, some things might be really proprietary and confidential. And so I'll talk with Jenny about that. But I think you can gather, she shared very openly today what she's charging for these packages. So if you listen back to the audio recording, which we should have out this evening, the first thing in the morning, we'll post it in the Facebook group, and then I'll do an email out to everybody who signed up today for the webinar. If you listen back to that, I think you'll be able to jot down, you know, that she was very open again about her fees. Nick said, if we're newer to servicing destination weddings in general, and we're not yet providing those planning and coordinating services, what do you feel is the most valuable service you provide when you're actually on site at the resort? For those of us who've not done this yet, what's the most important thing you do for the couples?
Most important thing, I would say being the liaison between the on-site coordinator and the couple, so that the couple knows that you have everything handled, and also from the wedding coordinator perspective, so that you have talked to them and you know that they have everything. So you're kind of giving them a boost as well as calming the couple down.
Okay, and I'm sure that's worth every penny when they need that. All right, we're gonna wrap up here. We did have quite a few, there were other industry events going on today, some virtual expos and things. We had some members come in late. Would you mind giving us a quick recap of your fees again? And that'll be the last question. We'll wrap up here.
Sure. The travel planning alone is $1,000. Travel and wedding coordination, I think, I don't have it written down in front of me, I think it was raised to the $1,800. Day of coordination, which includes the night before meeting with the on-site, meeting with couple, and then everything the day of, from whenever it starts to the end of the reception. That one, I believe that one was raised to I think 3,200. Sorry, I should have had that written down in front of me. And then the full service, which includes 5 days of handling all of the events, that one is 4,500.
That's great. We've got some great ranges there. I did lie. One more quick question. This is a really good one.
Sure.
Kaltidra asked, are you considered an outside vendor by any resorts? Have you ever had to pay the outside vendor fee required by some properties?
No. Mm-mm. No, I have not.
Okay, good. Well, listen, the best part of featuring members like Jenny is it's one thing to talk about how to do something and then to actually hear someone who's doing it every week of the year. And that's definitely the case with our member today, a charter member of the association, Jenny Chaffer. She's with Journeys Travel in Illinois. And has been, I think you found, I saw on your LinkedIn page, you founded your agency in 2006. She
Correct.
Is down in Playa Mujeres, Dreams Playa Mujeres right now with a group, leaving in a couple days to go to a different resort with a different group, doing what we're talking about today. So just going to remind you on the screen there, I hope you jotted down her website, her direct email address there. And if you have any follow-up questions, just identify yourself, of course, that you're a member when you reach out to her. Jenny, I know you're real busy. You're calling us from Mexico. Thanks so much for sharing all this so openly today.
Oh, you are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everybody. Hope you got some great ideas today. And any follow-up, remember, go in the Facebook group and or email Jenny directly. Thanks, everyone. Have a great afternoon. Good luck, Jenny, down there. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.